The Everything Home Podcast is brought to you by Helping the People. We're a real estate company, home resource center, and nonprofit organization that's disrupting the home buying and selling experience by providing relationship-based real estate with a socially conscious purpose. We match home buyers and sellers with our preferred realtors, and 25% of their commission is donated to our Homes for Veterans program, which financially assists veterans who want to buy a home or need home improvements for their service-connected injuries. We created this program as a way for Americans to honor the men and women of the United States military for their service to our nation and the sacrifices they've made. So if you're looking to buy a home or it's time to sell yours, please give us a call at 833-694-6636 or visit our website at helpingthepeople.org. Not only will you be working with our realtors, who are among the top 1-5% in Arizona and the greater San Diego area, you'll be changing the life of a veteran while we change yours. That's 833-694-6636 and helpingthepeople.org. We look forward to you becoming a part of our very unique community.
Welcome to Everything Home, where we talk about life, stuff, and balance. Your home is the base for everything in your life, from the structure and contents to what goes on inside and within yourself. To make sure this foundation is solid as can be, we invite a special guest to share something you will find enlightening, inspiring, and entertaining. Now here's your host, Michelle Swinnick. Enjoy the show.
Today's podcast is a very important one that really everybody should listen to. I'm interviewing Gordon Brown, the CEO and president with Team Veteran Foundation. He's going to share his passion and solution for ending the veteran suicide epidemic that's now at 30 veterans a day. That's 3,496 veterans this year alone have taken their life at the time that I'm recording this on April 27, 2018. By the end of the show, another four veterans would have taken their own lives. His organization is raising funds to acquire a 10-person hyperbaric oxygen therapy chamber to treat traumatic brain injuries, TBI, and post-traumatic stress, PTS. Their website, TVFAZ.org. Remember, the first cost of freedom is supporting our veterans. I hope that this show changes at least one person's life. So why don't you tell us about your organization?
Team Veteran Foundation was started September of 2012. And our mission behind Team Veteran Foundation was to stop the suicide epidemic. When we first started it, it was 18 suicides a day. Then it went up to 22. And we currently run a suicide counter on our website. And we use the number 30 a day because the original study didn't recognize California, Texas, or Florida. They didn't report their suicides. So our mission is to... We're never going to stop suicides. However, what I'd like to do is stop the epidemic. I'd like to slow it down dramatically. So that's who we are.
You mentioned that there were a couple states that didn't report the statistics. Is that because they wouldn't receive certain funding if their numbers were too high? I mean, if that's the case, then a lot of the statistics could be skewed to not necessarily reveal the truth about certain problems within the veteran community.
Right. And I don't know about the funding. What I do know from two of the doctors involved, they said a lot of times the suicides weren't reported to protect the family. There were a number of reasons, but they posed the question to me, how do you commit or how do you die by suicide when you're cleaning your weapon? And of course, there's no way. If you're cleaning your weapon, you can't shoot yourself. Now, you can shoot yourself prior to cleaning it or after cleaning it, but when you clean your weapon, the bullets are gone. So you couldn't do that. A single car accident, no skid marks. It's recognized as an accident, not suicide. So there is a lot of fudging in the reporting, but some states just don't report their veteran suicides.
Yeah, that was interesting. So what actually was the incentive? Did something happen in your personal life where you saw that there was alternative means to prevent these suicides?
Yes, my background, it's on our website. I've been around and involved in over 35 suicides. I've lost 5 of my own military brothers to suicide. And I found that one of the major issues in the veteran community are traumatic brain injuries that are frequently not reported, not diagnosed, not acknowledged. And the symptomology with a traumatic brain injury and PTS is very similar. It's probably 85% crossover. So one of the major issues with a traumatic brain injury is frequently the frontal lobe is damaged. And that's where you control executive decision and impulse control. Now, if that part of your brain is damaged and then you're given very, very dangerous psychotropic drugs, which frequently have suicide ideation as one of the effects of the drug, you've created a perfect storm for suicides. I personally, I'm into my 16th year of surviving a fatal traumatic brain injury. I say fatal because post-op, I died twice from grand mal seizures and had a near-death experience. And I was put on anti-seizure medication, 1,400 milligrams a day. And I found that most activity during the day, there was some type of suicide ideation going on. In recognizing what a huge deficit I was living with, the damage that had been done, and I had no way of coming out of that to correct the deficit. And eventually over time, what happens is your brain will remap itself through neuroplasticity. The problem with that is the areas that were damaged may not be dead. They may just be dormant. Those neurons may be dormant. And through my investigations after getting off the drugs and finding something else that would help repair my traumatic brain injury, I discovered hyperbaric oxygen therapy. And it was such a dramatic shift in these people after they had been through 40 hyperbaric dives. And a dive is considered, it's the name for the treatment. A 1-hour treatment is known as a dive, because hyperbaric oxygen chambers come from the dive medicine industry.
Can you explain exactly what these chambers are and how they operate? Because a lot of people are unfamiliar with this new alternative therapy that seems to be just starting to be more prominent in certain places. I mean, to be honest with you, in the past couple months, I've heard it mentioned several times.
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because around the world, hyperbaric oxygen is recognized as a standard of care for over 60 different conditions and diseases. In the United States, they only recognize 15 different items that the FDA has approved for hyperbaric oxygen therapy. And what it is there are two types of chambers. There's a mono place chamber, which means it's just one person in there. And usually those mono place chambers are completely filled with oxygen. So you have to be very careful about what you wear in. It's just all cotton clothing. It's very specific about how you go into the chamber. A lot of veterans can't go into those chambers because of claustrophobia. Even if they're acrylic and you can see through it and you can see the technician standing right next to you outside the chamber, they still get very claustrophobic. So there's another type of chamber called a multi-place. And the multi-place chamber It basically looks like a mini plane fuselage with seats in it. It's a, depending on the size of them, the one that I'm acquiring actually seats 10 people. And when you're in the chamber, they'll pressurize the chamber itself, the air inside the chamber. And the terminology is ATA, atmosphere absolute. So right now you and I are at one ATA. That's just the normal pressure that we feel on our body being on the surface. If you go 30 feet below in salt water, you're at two ATA. So that's 33 feet and you're at two atmospheres. If you go to 2.5 atmosphere, you're at 50 feet, the same pressure as if you were diving in salt water at 50 feet. During this time, you're breathing 100% pure medical grade oxygen. And because of that, every fluid in your body is permeated with oxygen from your spinal fluid to the blood. Every fluid in your body is absolutely engorged with oxygen. And what happens is a natural process of angiogenesis, and that's capillary growth. Well, it's dramatically sped up with hyperbaric oxygen. So what happens is the areas in your brain that were dormant because of the damage that was done, maybe a crush injury, like in my situation, I bled for almost 2 months. The upper right quadrant of my MRI indicated all white. It was all blood. So it had smashed the temporal and frontal lobe to center line. So as you're breathing this 100% pure oxygen, new capillaries are growing. You're getting new blood supply, new oxygen supply into these damaged areas. And what frequently happens is you see a lot of these dormant neurons reactivating. They're coming back online. So all of a sudden, you start coming back online. You actually start recognizing and remembering things that you thought were long lost. So and a lot of people wonder, well, what's it feel like? You really don't feel anything. The only time you're going to feel something is when you're going to the pressure. And it'd be the same thing as if you were going in a plane, or if you were driving in a car up a mountain, you might have that sense of pressure in your ears. And so you just equalize the pressure by pinching your nose, slightly blowing, or maybe chewing some gum, throat lozenge, something like this. Very rarely will you have somebody that can't go down into the pressure level, the treatment level, because of their ears. But that's the only thing you'll really sense is a pressure in your ears until you get to the dive level. You're at that level for an hour, and then you come back out, so they depressurize the chamber.
So it sounds like it gives the cells an opportunity to rejuvenate, and they then begin to either they regrow or they just get a jump start from where they were maybe prior to whatever the incident was.
Yes. But there's also another phenomenal occurrence that happens at 2 ATA and 2.5 ATA. And that is that there's a dramatic increase in bone marrow stem cell production and release in the bloodstream. Now, we've heard a lot of great medical advances using stem cells. And what happens in hyperbaric oxygen is they found that at 2, there's about an 800% increase in bone marrow stem cell production. At 2.5, which is as if you were 50 feet below the surface, there's a 2,400% increase in bone marrow stem cells. So these stem cells are floating through your body looking for damage. And when they find something that's damaged, like a knee, a shoulder, a hip, those stem cells start working that out. It's the same thing that's being done when they harvest your blood and then they spin it and concentrate the stem cells. This is done just by being under pressure and breathing 100% pure oxygen. So you're reactivating an awful lot of tissue that's been dormant, or you're regrowing things.
Now, when you went through this therapy, did you go into one of those larger units where there's multiple, or were you in the single one that was similar to maybe like an MRI tube?
I was in a multiplace. So I was in the in a chamber that had six seats in it. And during the time, I was off the coast of Vietnam during the war, you know, on an aircraft carrier, and we found out that the water in the Tonkin was heavily contaminated with Agent Orange and other dioxins. So when we brought this salt water aboard to our evaporators and created potable and boiler water, we were actually concentrating and increasing the carcinogenic effect of the dioxins. So we were drinking the water, we were showering in it, and we were cooking in it. Now, when I was in the chamber, there were a number of different people in there, and I was the only veteran from the Vietnam War in the chamber. And when I was in there, frequently the women would have sweaters or sweatshirts on, the men would have long sleeves, but none of them ever came out of there sweating. For me, for about 5 weeks of the 8 weeks that I was in the chambers, I would come out and be absolutely drenched. I'm not talking about just a little moisture. I'm talking about I could take my shirt off and wring it out. It was that much. And what I found out later is hyperbaric is used for chemical detoxification around the world. So they were pretty sure that what I was doing was detoxing, because about 5.5 weeks into it, that sweating stopped.
So prior to going into that hyperbaric chamber, did you notice any symptoms or issues that you could have traced back to being exposed to that Agent Orange? Then once you went through this treatment, some of those issues were no longer there?
I can't really say, because with Agent Orange, it can take decades before anything ever shows up. And that's one of the big nightmares about these chemicals that we were exposed to, is it can be decades before anything happens. What I did notice that on the 10th dive, this facility was only open 5 days a week. They would dive you 5 days and then the weekends were off. The facility that I'm going to be opening, we're going to be open 7 days a week, because you don't take medication 5 days a week and then have a vacation on the weekends. So we plan to be open 7 days a week. And with the potential of the stem cells and just the dramatic shift that occurred with me on the 10th dive, a lot of my training and skill sets when I was a federally licensed psychologist, I had lost. I knew I had been one, but I couldn't speak to you with any type of authority about different therapy modalities. I just didn't remember that stuff. But on the weekend of the 10th dive, that all came back. I was talking to an individual who knew me back during the days where I was at Naval Drug Rehabilitation Center, and he made the comment. He said, "Man, you're talking like a shrink again." And so
that's the nicest thing probably someone's ever said in a long time, right?
yes, actually, because I had lost all of that. I had lost the skill set, the training. I couldn't remember that portion of my life. And it was an extremely emotional weekend. And this frequently is what happens with people that have traumatic brain injuries and they go through hyperbaric oxygen, is they'll have just an incredible number of memories will come flooding back. And the problem in And a lot of times people don't recognize this, is it may not come back in sequence. It may come back in very disjointed patterns. So you just have to be aware of that. For me, it was almost like it was just every day I was remembering more and more and more and more, and it never stopped. It shifted. By the time I was done with all the dives, my cognition had shifted 180 degrees. It was a dramatic difference. And this was all because of oxygen.
Well, and the unique thing about you going through this is you're analyzing it from a psychological standpoint because of your background, as opposed to somebody who was just getting back some of their skill sets or some of their memories or some of their physical abilities. So you're just going through trying to, you're analyzing it, and you're seeing the benefits, and you're coming up with statistics and analysis. So it was probably so much more impactful from you on that side, that it was just, like you said, it was just beyond an exceptional experience for yourself.
Yes, yes, it was. And I had been sponsoring veterans out of my own pocket. I had never actually gone into the chambers until somebody contacted me, wanted to know my story. They said, "We've heard all about you. You're a hell of a spokesperson for hyperbaric. Tell us your story in the dives." And I said, "I can't tell you a thing because I haven't been in the chambers." And that's when they decided to sponsor me to go through. So watching these other veterans go through the chambers and watch the progress. One gentleman in specific memory is when I presented him with the check for the first 40 dives, his response was pretty much a mumble. And it wasn't until his 25th dive, when I had no idea he was actually in the vehicle with his stepmom, I heard, "Hey, Gordon, how you doing? Can't wait to see you." And it was such a dramatic difference. I mean, I could understand this man without question. He had been a recon Marine and been in a training accident at Camp Pendleton in 2009. And he had serious neuromuscular spasticity, blind, just incredible problems. And his speech, you could not understand him unless you were really, really concentrating on everything he was saying and trying to figure out what that word or what that sound meant. Well, just by going through HBOT therapy, he was able to get his communication skills back. And that's a dramatic, dramatic shift.
And you said it's usually, 40 dives is the amount that the minimum amount in order to see these traumatic results?
Yes, for the traumatic brain injury, they'll usually start you at they'll do a 40 dive regimen and see what the progress is. And they can physically witness this when they do SPECT scans. When they actually look at the brain pre and post treatment, they can actually see the activity that is reactivated in the brain. So there are ways to actually see this. But, you know, more importantly, rather than the evidence, because Israel has been doing this for almost 5 decades, around the world, they don't look at this as a unique or kind of a quirky snake oil type operation. They look at it as standard of care. And so when I run into people that say, "Well, don't you need to test this, and where are the peer reviews, and where is the double-blind research?" What I always ask them is, where are the peer reviews and the double-blind research on all of the drugs that are issued to people? The vast majority of those drugs are off-label. Off-label means that the FDA has never approved them for the condition they're being used for. So, you know, be real careful when you start attacking hyperbaric oxygen therapy and justifying it with drugs, because the drugs are definitely snake oil. And they lead to damage to the liver, kidneys, thyroid, and heart. In Israel, they're actually using hyperbaric oxygen as anti-aging because of the regenerative qualities of oxygen at those deeper depths with the stem cells.
Well, and even you mentioned that it rejuvenates the production of the bone marrow. So there's got to be
it's the stem cells
unlimited that... potential for that, especially if there's when you're dealing with cancer and some other illnesses.
Yes, yes. I mean, it's the stem cells being produced out of the bone marrow. And this is that's the critical part. I mean, there was a gentleman here in Phoenix that had radiation for his jaw and throat cancer. And radiation strips the calcium out of the bone, makes it weak. He had lost a tooth, was losing two more. So his oncologist sent him to a local hospital that has a hyperbaric chamber. And the standard protocol for radiation necrosis is 2.5 ATA hyperbaric oxygen. Not only did his mandible completely regenerate, he didn't lose any additional teeth, but he had been a competitive tennis player, high school, college, and semi-pros. He was looking at knee replacement. And by the 10th dive, he noticed something really weird was happening. His knees were kind of a buzzing sensation. By the 30th dive, his wife noticed he was walking differently. He didn't seem to be in pain. That gentleman is now back to playing tennis and jogging again, and he's got the original equipment.
That's amazing.
And of course, it's different for every person. I mean, no, that's why it's difficult to do research with drugs or with hyperbaric, because each body is different. Everybody's DNA is different. But the effects of oxygen around the world in uses as a standard of care treatment, these are duplicatable. You're seeing the same things happening. Strokes. A woman in Israel had a stroke 20 years before she was treated. The doctor even laughed, saying it was too old an injury. After 40 dives, she was walking and talking, two things she couldn't do prior to using hyperbaric oxygen.
Well, it's almost like you've got to put things in a perspective. So if someone is doubting it, saying, oh, well, it's not going to work, and you're saying, well, what I'm doing right now isn't working at all. So if, like you, when you did yours, you got extreme results. Well, let's just say that the guy that uses it after you only gets half. Well, guess what? Half is amazing compared to the situation he's already in. So if you're 1, 2, 5% better, you're still a heck of a lot better off than not using it at all. So it's almost like you have to look at it from a different perspective, as it can better you. We just don't know if it's going to be something that's minimal, which is still great, or something that's going to be completely extreme where you went, okay, I'm back to where I was 20 or 30 years ago or before the injury that occurred.
Right. Right. And the quote unquote side effects are so minimal and so rare that compared to any other types of treatments, there's a dramatic positive from hyperbaric oxygen therapy. Now, the problem with it is that after 40 dives, you might want to do some additional, but it doesn't revert back. You don't go backwards. You continue to make progress. And it's far less expensive than the other treatments. And a lot of the other treatments have nothing to do with healing a traumatic brain injury. It's just masking symptoms. Just like so many of the drugs that are given for veterans that have PTS. It's not doing anything to treat PTS. It's just masking symptoms. But in masking those symptoms, you're damaging the liver, kidneys, thyroid, and heart. And to me, that's just not worth it. You're destroying the quality of life, and you're shortening the lifespan of these veterans.
And well, you're also altering their mind, which then, like you said, is resulting in all of these suicides, not to mention the damage that's created between on themselves and their family members and friends and fellow teammates between the point of maybe taking their own lives. So there's a lot of damage that can be caused in many different ways by these intense medications that they're on.
Yes, and one of the things that I want to clear up, because I hear this a lot of times when people are talking about suicide. People will say, well, it's an act of cowardice, that the person was a coward. And out of the 35 suicides I've been around and involved with, not one of those people was a coward. The number one item that we found from those that didn't die by suicide but had very serious attempts was total despair. They had reached their end of the rope, and they felt that by eliminating themselves, they were actually saving the family and those around them. The problem with that is that a suicide is like no other death. The family never heals from a suicide. And it's a permanent solution to a temporary problem. However, when you're on these drugs, you don't see any alternatives.
Now, you mentioned that there was one of these chambers here in Phoenix at a hospital. So is it something that they're only putting in hospitals, or are there special centers that are available? Is it something that's becoming a little bit more common? But there obviously the reason why there has to be not that many of them is the costs. The costs for the equipment and the costs for the actual treatments has to be substantial. So did you want to talk about that?
If you're being treated at a hospital, they can only treat you for one of the 15 FDA-recognized conditions. Where if you're a standalone facility, then you're not bound by those restrictions. Like, they're not going to treat you for a traumatic brain injury at a hospital hyperbaric, but at a standalone facility, you can receive those treatments. And so there is a tremendous cost to them. The 10-person chamber, dual lock chamber that's been offered to me, it's $1 million chamber, and it's been offered to me at $250,000. It's coming out of a bankruptcy, and they don't want to keep it around. They just want to get rid of it and put it with somebody that can actually turn it from an idle chamber into treating people. And the expense when you're doing it at a hospital, one of the hospitals told me it was $3,000 per treatment.
Oh.
Now, on the standalone, it's $150. Across the nation at the standalone clinics, and it's anywhere from $100 to $350 a treatment. That's $350 or $150, like locally here in Phoenix, $150. If you just walk in off the street, if you pay in packets, you know, do 5 or 10 dives at a time. And the key to hyperbaric oxygen is it must be done consistently, and it must be done. If you're going to do 20 dives, then you've got to do 20 days. Or if they're doing 2 dives a day at that facility, then it's going to take you 10 days. But you have to be consistent. You can't do a dive today and then 2 weeks from now have another dive and expect to see any real results occurring. Hyperbaric kind of builds on itself. As you activate these stem cells, you keep reactivating them, you firing them up. At the end of the 2.5 40 dive series, those stem cells continue to generate for 90 to 120 days after your last dive. So
now you're able to do multiple in one day. Like you said, you can do one. Can you do back to back, or there needs to be a certain period of time in between?
There's a four. Usually it's recognized as 4 hours between treatments. And so with a dual lock chamber, what it means is there are two chambers inside this hyperbaric facility. So you, in the entry chamber, it's a small area where you can position 2 or 3 people. And then in the main chamber, it's 10 seats. You have area there for 10 different people to receive oxygen. So what happens if we're doing a dive at 7 o'clock in the morning and you show up at 7:15 because of traffic, you would have to wait until the 9 o'clock dive. But in this facility, we would put you in the entry lock. We would close the hatch. And by the way, this chamber is wheelchair accessible. So we would then pressurize it to the treatment pressure and then open that hatch and you go on in and start your treatment. So it allows a much more fluid arrangement for getting people in and out of the chamber, and you can do far more dives during the day. And so with the other mono or multi-place chambers, when they close the hatch, they're going down to pressure and that's it. They're not coming back out for roughly, it's an hour and 20 minutes. It depends on how long it takes you to get down to the treatment pressure.
So does any insurance cover this, depending on what the situation or what the injury is?
It's if they're one of the 15 FDA approved, then the insurance will cover. But what we're finding is the deductibles from the insurance, and at $150 per treatment or $100, $120, it's cheaper to pay out of pocket.
Right.
It's far cheaper to pay out of pocket. So, and keep in mind that this young man that had absolutely no communication skills, he just mumbled. That was after 25 dives. He has had a total of, I think, 80 dives. He did another series of 40. He's now walking in an elevated walker. He's beginning to see colors and shadows. His neuromuscular spasticity, involuntary spasticity, is completely gone. Dramatic, dramatic shifts in his life. And so, go ahead.
I was going to say, his injuries were extreme.
Yes, yes. As was... There was a young man, 17-year-old kid in an auto accident. I don't know if he was driving or not driving, but he had been discharged after 3 months of no progress at a Medicare facility, and he was headed to a Medicaid holding tank. He had he couldn't even pick his head up out of his lap. He had no control over anything. It was very sad to see how damaged this individual was. After 89 dives, he was walking on his own. He was communicating. At this point in time, he owns a 2-bedroom home in northern Louisiana. He's married, and he works at a warehouse facility. So his life is, maybe he's not a rocket scientist, but he probably wasn't one before the accident, but he's not in a vegetative or semi-vegetative state in a Medicaid facility. He's up and around. He owns his own home. He's married. He has a life again. And the TBI industry is an $80 billion annual industry.
But if they're not using these hyperbaric chambers to treat the TBI situation now and the issues, or what alternative methods or what other are they treating it with, drugs or some sort of therapy? And then they're not acknowledging that these chambers, or are they using a combination?
They're using the standard protocol is the drugs, or are the drugs. That's the standard protocol. They mask the symptoms. There are some other therapies that they're using, like red light, infrared light. They're using some different therapies that are kind of as an adjunct to the drugs, but the drugs have been and are the mainstay, and it's pretty much just masking the symptoms. And none of these actually do what hyperbaric does with the stem cell activation. none of them bring back in the oxygen and blood supply into the damaged areas. Now, infrared light will do that, increase the blood flow into the area, but it takes... I personally have used ultrasound for healing of a damaged shoulder when I was a very, very heavy weightlifter. No juice. That was all natural weightlifting. But what I discovered with the oxygen therapy is just a dramatic overall advance in your whole body. Your whole body is changing, and it's an incredible feeling. So to answer the question, the PTS and the TBI, it's pretty much drugs.
You know, it's a shame because I can understand maybe 20, 30 years ago, that was the go-to, that was kind of the standard in any of the treatments for any type of illness. But so many alternative things, people are in a natural naturopathic medicine. They're looking at different types of therapy, even, you know, dealing with issues with the mind knowing that there's so many of these suicides. And you gave specific numbers. When you started this in 2012, it was 18 a day, then went to 22. Now you're looking at 30. So if they know the numbers are increasing, the medication is, it sounds like they're giving out more. It's a shame that these alternative treatments that are showing results aren't being implemented more. And I guess it goes back to money, right? It has to go back to
Absolutely.
The insurance companies and whoever is involved with the other methods. That there's too much money to actually to help somebody.
Right. I mean, think about the gentleman I mentioned who's back to playing competitive, or at least he's playing tennis and jogging again. I don't know if he's doing competitive tennis anymore, but he just removed two knee replacement operations. Those are $9,500 knee replacements for each one. He had two of them, doesn't need them now. So that just took away a couple $100,000 from a surgeon. Then the physical therapy that would be prescribed after the knee replacement. And then, of course, the knee replacement, once you start that process, 10, 12 years later, you have to do it again. Well, this gentleman now has an opportunity to use his original equipment. And who knows what would happen if he started damaging him again, if he did the hyperbaric again to see if it would regenerate him. They're doing stem cell regeneration they do it injected right now. Why not use the hyperbaric to flood your entire body with it? But the big pushback from the U.S., and I won't say Western, because in Europe, hyperbaric is recognized very extensively. Here, it's just about the drugs, and there's really no money in hyperbaric oxygen therapy. I mean, if you do 40 dives and the person is on track and they've got their life pretty much back on track, what are you going to do? You're not going to treat them for another 40 dives because they don't need it.
So 40 is the magic number, basically, to
40,
see the results.
40 is the standard. It's kind of like you standard. Do the 40 to see where you are. Now, there are other conditions that you may see a dramatic result in 10 to 20. Fibromyalgia, I was talking to one of the technicians at one of the other centers, the standalone centers, and he said he's seen a 25 to 40% reduction in pain after only one dive. Now, for somebody who's on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the worst, and all of a sudden they're 25 to 40% reduction in their pain, that's a dramatic difference. And there are no drugs involved, no drugs that are damaging the kidneys and liver. A lot of people don't understand why you have to do the blood test, and it's not real common knowledge. And if you look at a lot of the ads for the drugs, you're blown away by all of the effects of the drug. everything from sudden death. So here's an alternative. The problem is that it's not a big moneymaker.
No, but then it takes a certain mindset. It takes a certain group. It takes a certain type of person to understand how that works. Let's just say they needed to not go negative every month because they're operating the facility, but it's not really designed to make millions off of it. It's designed as a service and to help people and to be able just to cover the cost of the facility to operate it. You know, it's not there as a franchise that I'm going to make, you know, 20 or 30% return on my investment every single year.
Right.
But the upside is huge. And if you could change people's lives like that, seems like there's got to be a way to have more of these facilities and to get yours to the point where it's operating. And I'm assuming you're going to have it here in Phoenix.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Talked to several different groups that are very excited about having it at their facility. With having that type of a chamber, a 10-seat chamber, and being a dual lock chamber, it allows us to do things that the other smaller chambers just can't do, as far as the number of people that we can treat and the ease of entry as a wheelchair accessible. It's much easier to just walk through than to have to crawl through a round opening.
You've got multiple bodies that can go in it, and you're operating it 7 days a week. That's a lot of people that can get helped. So, I mean, if somebody was looking at it from an investment return on the investment, there's still volume there.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely, and of course. Our focus is to treat the veterans at no cost to the veteran is what we want to function. But with the other, the civilians, and the charges there are very, very low. It's the same, 150 walk in off the street. It's very, very inexpensive when you look at the alternatives and what the alternatives are doing to your body. So, yeah, there's tremendous opportunity to do some incredible healing. And, you know, it's also recognizing that an awful lot of these veterans that have been diagnosed with PTS, they never seem to get better. And this really frustrates me because there's a very good possibility they don't have PTS. They have undiagnosed traumatic brain injuries because the symptomology is very, very similar. And the only way that you can get out of post-traumatic stress, it's an emotional hole you're in, but the current attitude is that it's mental illness. It's not mental illness. Think about the Las Vegas shooting where the people on Saturday, were they mentally ill? On Sunday, when the moron started shooting at people, was there post-traumatic stress occurring? Absolutely. Did some people, that incident has devastated their lives. They live that shooting every single day. There were other people in there that had a couple bad dreams and they've gone on with their lives. Traumatic events affect people in different ways. But when you, no matter what type of psychotherapy you do, no matter what you're doing, these men and women never seem to get better. Very good possibility they need to be in a hyperbaric oxygen chamber. Let's heal the brain. Let's deal with the emotional issues afterwards. And one of the biggest sectors of the veteran community are the female veterans. A lot of them are suffering the exact same wounds that the men are. And this was brought up to me yesterday. Many times the female veterans are also the caregivers for their family or their spouses, but they also have suffered very similar injuries, and yet they can't take the time off to to recover the way the male counterparts are, because the kids still have to be cared for. The house has to be taken care of. And so a lot of these female veterans are not seeing the same quality of care as the male veterans. And that definitely needs to be changed. But the key to all of this...
What are the solutions for that? Yeah, what are the solutions?
Well, obviously an attitudinal... got to be an attitudinal adjustment. People have to recognize that the current wars, there are no front lines and there are no rear lines. It's all a big circle. Anybody could be in the middle of a combat situation. And now that women are receiving the MOS of 11 Bravo infantry, you're going to see a lot more of it. And just because you don't have a 11 Bravo or an infantry MOS, the occupational code, doesn't mean that you didn't see activity, that you didn't witness, you didn't go out on combat missions. It doesn't mean that at all. But the attitude is that, well, you're a woman, so you didn't see anything.
Can you explain what that designation means?
What's that?
The MS, what you just mentioned.
The military, MOS, in the military, they have different codes. In the Air Force, the Army, and the Marines, they use the term MOS. And as I remember, since I'm Navy, we don't use the MOS, but as I remember, it means military occupational. What's the S stand for? Not sure. Specialty, sorry. Mm. It's military occupational specialty, so the MOS. And your MOS, they give it to you, you know, in different codes, but 11 Bravo is an infantry. And this young woman had a MOS that put her in HR. So the assumption was if she had an HR MOS, then she didn't see any combat. But she definitely saw combat. And she has her own issues. She also has a traumatic brain injury. So it has to be an attitudinal change, both from the VA and from her fellow veterans. Need to recognize that everybody can have these situations. And if we could get more of these veterans that are quote-unquote PTS into the hyperbaric, then let's see how well their treatments go after we've healed the brain.
You know, at that point, it sounds like it's life-changing for them to go through this type of a therapy.
Yes. Yes, it is. It's a dramatic shift in... And when you think about it, all it is breathing oxygen. It's the only drug out there that the human being cannot live without for more than 4 or 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. There's no other drug out there that is so tied to our existence. And yet we overlook it as the potential for what it can do in healing.
So since we've kind of identified that there is such an incredible healing powers to this type of treatment, and you have the ability to acquire one for what sounds like a very reasonable cost, let's talk about your organization, how people can help to get this in motion. What do you need? And whatever else you want to discuss about your organization, so we can get this in, we can get this going.
What our focus is to create a wellness clinic with a hyperbaric oxygen as the cornerstone therapy. I truly believe that if we can treat the people with a hyperbaric, then we can deal with all the other issues afterwards. But let's heal the brain, specifically for the veteran community is the one that I'm talking about. But 18 to 45, between the ages of 18 to 45, the number one disabling event is a traumatic brain injury, car accidents, all of these different things that you, when you hit your head, football, sporting events, falling off ladders, these are all major issues that people are dealing with, and they just go on about their life with no real sense of recovery. Their brain just eventually remaps them. So our focus is to create the wellness clinic. We have an opportunity to bring a dual lock 10-person chamber into the valley. It's $1 million value for $250,000. Anybody who donates at the $25,000 platinum level, they and their immediate family will receive hyperbaric therapy for free for the rest of our existence. So it would behoove those people to keep us around for quite a while. But that's, they would receive absolute free hyperbaric therapy. We're looking for patriots that recognize that they received a return on investment. It's called freedom. And they want to help, because once we get this wellness clinic up and running and we can prototype it and figure out how to kind of stamp these out across the country, that's our major goal, because not only do we want to see a dramatic drop in the veteran suicide epidemic, but there's also a tremendous suicide epidemic occurring in the civilian world too. And a lot of it has to do with these injuries to the brain and the drugs that they're being given. So the best thing that people could do would be to donate. We are a nonprofit. You will get a tax benefit for donating to us. You can sponsor a veteran. You can sponsor all 40 dives. That's $4,800 to sponsor one veteran. The big thing is just putting the word out, letting people know that there are alternatives to these drugs. And our website, it's TVFAZ, Tango, Victor, Foxtrot, Alpha, Zulu.org. And everything that you ever wanted to know about hyperbaric is there. The information on the chamber is there, the pictures. This is a chamber that is actually enclosed in a portable building. So everything is inside the portable building and can be moved where it sits idle in Texas, move to the Phoenix area and start treating people.
Yeah, it seems simple, doesn't it? It's so simple to change so many people's lives, right?
Yep. And it's like in 2017, when I actually late 2016, I took control of the nonprofit over again. There were an awful lot of promises made. A lot of people stepped up to the table and said, man, this is phenomenal. I'm on board. I'm going to help. And every promise that was made was a promise that was broken. And I really, really was amazed at how many people would promise to help the veterans and turn right around and break that promise. It's like in the veteran community, when we hear somebody say, thank you for your service, we hear that so much. What we don't hear anybody ever saying is, how can I help? What can I do to help you? Everybody thinks that we have phenomenal health care. All you have to do is take a look on the website, read a newspaper about the VA and what's happening there. We don't have the best care, and a lot of it has to do that we have to prove that we were injured. We have to prove that we received chemical contamination from burn pits or from Agent Orange for us from Vietnam. These burn pits, these open-air burn pits that are going on in Afghanistan and Iraq are contaminating these soldiers, both male and female, and they have tremendous chemical exposure now. That may not show up for decades. So there are so many things that are happening in the veteran community that we could dramatically shift things and help the veteran community if people would just follow through. Instead of saying thank you for your service, ask us what you can do to help us. We were there for you. We'd really like to see you for us. I coined a creed for when I returned from overseas many, many years ago, and that's the first cost of freedom is supporting our veterans. It's not a cost. It's not one of the costs. It's the first cost of freedom. Everybody now talks about freedom isn't free. You're right. It isn't free. We've paid a big cost for it. We've paid a price. And we appreciate the thank you for your service. We just want you to go one step further and say, how can I help you?
It's powerful statements there, Gordon. So, I mean, I wish you the best in order to get this in motion. I know that there's going to be people out there that are going to help. It just requires getting in front of the right people, just like anything else. You know how that is. So I know it's going to happen. It's just a matter of not if.
Right. And of course, what people need to understand is that every day that goes by, that's 30. So a lot of times when people tell me they just don't have any time right now, they're just really busy. Sometimes I'll tell them, you want to see busy? Watch a combat soldier in combat. That's busy. If you don't have the time, let me know how many veterans have to die before you'll find the time to help us. It's 10,950 every year that are dying. And that's a conservative figure. And the broken promises that were made in 2017, which I hope 2018 is going to be a dramatic difference. But I actually found somebody out there on the web. It's called Because I Said I Would, a promise made, a promise kept. And I couldn't believe that somebody had actually started a social mission of getting people to commit to what they say. Because I said I would.
Yeah, the world would definitely be a different place if people executed on what comes out of their mouth sometimes in a positive way.
Yes, things would be dramatically different. And it's
so. I want to make sure that you give your website before we end the show, so that way people can get information, contact you, and hopefully do some sort of a contribution.
The website is tvfaz.org. It stands for Team Veteran Foundation, and we're based in Arizona. We are a IRS 501c3 nonprofit. And my phone number is 602-561-7805. And if you send an email to info@tvfaz.org, it will arrive in my inbox and also one of my other directors' inbox. So we will be in touch.
Is there anything else you want to say so everybody can just be on board and support in some way?
I just want to, first of all, thank you for the opportunity to present the information. And I just, I'm hoping that more people will make those promises and keep them, because we really, really need your help.
Well, like I said, they're out there. So the goal is to get the information out to as many people. And at that point, the ones that want to stand by what they say will come forward. So I want to just say thanks again for your personal service and for all that you're doing for these men and women, because they need soldiers like yourself to go out there and help them and get things put in place and be taken care of properly, because there's solutions. We just need to look at them from a different way and finally start to put those things in motion. So thank you so much for all that you're doing and all the effort and time and the passion that you're putting into this.
Thank you so much for offering me this opportunity.
You're welcome. Have a good day, Gordon. We'll be in touch.
All right.
And we'll get this in motion, I promise.
Okay. Thank you so
All
much.
Right. Have a wonderful
Bye.
Day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks. You've been listening to me discuss what's going on in the veteran world, especially with hyperbaric oxygen chambers. A great solution for treating these traumatic brain injuries for the men and women that have served for us. Share this episode with people that you know so they can understand what people are going through and that there is a solution out there, and we need to work together to make it happen. At least we know how to do it this time and what we can do to help others. So you've been listening to Everything Home, where we talk about life, stuff, and balance. Today was an honor to speak with Gordon Brown. He's the CEO and president of Team Veterans Foundation, and he's also a veteran. So think about it. Have a great day, everybody.
You've been listening to Everything Home with Michelle Swinnick.